Shri Shuka Uvacha Gopananda Dayakshutva Drumayo Patato Ravam Tatra Jagmur Guru Shrishta Nirgata Vaya Shankita Shri Shuka Uvacha Gopananda Dayak Shutva Drumayo Patatoravam Tatra Jagmu Kuru Shishta Nirgata Bhaya Shankita Shri Shuka Uvacha Gopananda Dayashutva Dromayo Patatarabham Tatta Jagmo Kuru Shishta Nirghata Vayashankita. Ladies, Shri Shuka Uvacha Gopanandadaya Shutva Drumayo Patatorabham Tatra Jagmu Kuru Shishta Nirgata Bhaya Shankita Rishoka Uvacha Gopanandadaya Shutva Dromayo Patatoravam Tatra Jagmu Kuru Shrishta Nirgata Bhaya Shankitaha Shri Shukad Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Gopaha, all the cowherd men, Nanda Adayaha, headed by Nanda Maharaj, Shutva, hearing Drumayo of the two trees, Patato, falling down, Ravam, the high sound, as terrible as a thunderbolt, Tatra, there on the spot, Ajagmuhu went Kuru Shrestha. Oh Maharaj Parikshit, Nirgata Vaya Shankita, who were afraid of falling thunderbolts. Translation, Shukadev Goswami continued, oh Maharaj Parikshit, when the Yamala Arjun trees fell, all the cowherd men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound and fearing thunderbolts, went to the spot. No purport. Text 2. There they saw the fallen Yamala Arjuna trees on the ground, but they were bewildered because even though they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen, they could not trace out the cause of their having done so. Purport. Considering all the circumstances, had this been done by Krishna, he was standing on the spot, and his playmates described that this had been done by him. Had Krishna actually done this, or were these merely stories? This was a cause of bewilderment. Babrahmuhu, bewilderment. Brahma, B-H-R-A-M-A, means bewildered. It's one of the defects of conditioned souls. Text 3. Krishna was bound by the rope to the ulukkala, or the mortar, which he was dragging. But how could he have pulled down the trees? Who actually had done it? Who had actually done it? Where was the source of this incident? Considering all these astounding things, the coward men were doubtful and bewildered. Purport. The cowherd men were very much agitated because the child, Krishna, after all, had been standing between the two trees. And if by chance the trees had fallen upon him, he would have been smashed. But he was standing as he was, and still the things had happened. So who had done all this? How could these events have happened in such a wonderful way? These considerations were some of the reasons they were agitated and bewildered. They thought, however, that by chance Krishna had been saved by God so that nothing had happened to him. Brajalila, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Krishna's nature is, he's very kind, he's very loving, he's very affectionate, and this is yet another of the phases of Krishna's loving quality and kindness. So, just in sequence, these chapters go, they narrate the binding by Mother Jasoda. And she binds him to the mortar with a rope. He who can't be bound was bound because he permitted her to do that because of her love. And then, as soon as that was over, Krishna then began to contemplate upholding the word of Narada, because that's Krishna's loving quality towards Narada. Narada made a statement, just an utterance. And Krishna upholds the words of such devotees as Narada. So he delivered those two sons of Kuvera, and he did it very expertly, effortlessly. And then they offered their prayers, and they were delivered. They went back to their kingdom, but now free from their contamination. Krishna is saying by the grace of Narada, but the grace of Narada means the grace of Krishna. He's an instrument of Krishna's grace. Now that's over and they've gone. Then the next exchange is with the elders. So we know, in a broad sense, the residents of Vrindavan cannot see, because of their affection for Krishna, they cannot see his divinity. The Narada saw, Nala Kuvera Mani Griva saw, the resident of Vrindavan cannot see. And there's many, many, many of his pastimes where they cannot see him in that way. Even he displays his divinity. So I'm going to read commentary again, as we've been doing each morning, of our acharyas, and there's reference to other scripture, Vaishnav literature, not just writings, but the scriptures themselves, which indicate what Prabhupada says in his purport, which is, at this scene, Krishna wasn't alone. Krishna was with his cowherd friends. And so the astonished Nanda Maharaj and the elders, they were perplexed, as the two of the verses say. They were bewildered. And they were apparently discussing amongst themselves, how did this happen? And some of the little boys, because Krishna is just a little boy, a toddler, They said, Krishna did it. Mother Jashoda, she bound him to the mortar with a rope, and Krishna started crawling, and the mortar got stuck between the two trees, and the two trees fell over. Krishna uprooted the two trees. That's how it happened. And, you know, little children can say silly things sometimes. So they were doubtful. How is it possible? Because they can't see him as God. They can't see his divinity. They can't see his all-powerfulness. So, in one sense, they dismissed it. But another is, how is it possible? Not like, maybe what the children said is true. But it just helped in their stimulation of ecstatic love, in other words, to hear Krishna did it. Krishna did it. He pulled over these two very old, hard wood, deep roots, mission impossible, Krishna did it. We're going to hear in the commentary, it's a sign of intelligence. It's just a natural kind of inquiry, seeking cause and effect. They saw the effect. What's the cause? But they became so absorbed in their state of bewilderment, they lost track of that important question, the cause. Prabhupada would speak this about, since the beginning of time, thoughtful people ask, how did creation come into being? What's the source of this creation in which we find ourselves? Or Brahma being the superlative, intelligent person, first living being. Where did I come from? What's the cause? What's the source of existence? People that are not inquisitive, or their intelligence is bewildered, they become far more concerned about managing the effects and not inquiring what's the cause of the effects. It's like Western medicine. Like Prabhupada's example, blowing on a boil. I don't know if you've heard that example before, but a boil is painful. So what's causing the boil is the intelligent question. There's an infection in the blood, and you have to not just blow on the boil, because then it feels better for half a minute or some seconds, and then it's painful again. Or lance the boil and then it comes out, the infection, but the blood still is carrying the infection. So how do you deal with the infection in the blood? But if you don't ask the question, you haven't solved the problem. So what's the cause? And so this is Vedanta. What's the cause of all causes? Sarva karana karanam. There's cause that brings about an effect. And what's the cause that brought about the effect? And what's the cause that brought about that cause? Because that's the effect of some prior cause, and keep going. And it's a philosophical inquiry, but it's an intelligent inquiry. In Prahlad's words to his father, the first thing his father began to consider is, how did Prahlad get this contamination? What's the cause? What's the source of it? Who polluted this boy? And he just speculated, and the conclusion was wrong. But, you know, one of the boys somehow has contaminated Prahlad. So, teachers, be vigilant. Don't let any children contaminate my son. And then he thought it was the teachers, and the teachers said, It's not us, so don't fault us. He's a spontaneous bhakta. So then it was, where do you get this? Spontaneous bhakti. And Prahlad said, you won't understand. Even if I told you, you won't understand. You're attached to the temporary, a satgraha. So it's a natural inquiry. What's behind some effect? What's the cause? So we'll hear the commentary. They lost track of the intelligent question. They were more concerned about affection for their son. And their feeling was, God, as Prabhupada is quoting, God has protected him. It's similar to the very first such demon that Krishna killed. This isn't a demon killed by Krishna, but when Putana or Trinavarta or other demons that came before this pastime took place, Narayan must have saved the child. And so they worshiped Narayan and they did rituals that will sanctify the body of the child and the being of the child and invoking Brahmana's services to please the devas and invoke the happiness of Narayan so our son will be protected. So let's go to the chapter summary. We're just at the very beginning of the chapter. Here's Prabhupada's chapter summary, chapter 11. This chapter describes how the inhabitants of Gokula left Gokula and went to Vrindavan, and how Krishna killed Vatsasura and Bakasura. That's a paragraph. Next. When the Yamala Arjuna trees fell, they made a tremendous sound like that of falling thunderbolts. Being surprised, Krishna's father, Nanda, and the other elderly inhabitants of Gokula went to the spot where they saw the fallen trees and Krishna standing between them, bound to the ulukkala, or the wooden mortar. They could find no cause for the trees having fallen and Krishna's being there. They thought this might be the work of some other asura who had met Krishna on this spot, and they inquired from the playmates of Krishna about the whole incident, how the whole incident had taken place. The children properly described how everything had happened, but the elderly persons could not believe the story. Some of them, however, thought it might be true, since they had already seen many wonderful incidents in connection with Krishna. Anyway, Nanda Maharaj immediately released Krishna from the ropes. Paragraph. In this way, Krishna, at every day and every moment, displayed wonderful incidents to increase the parental affection of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who thus felt both surprise and joy. The breaking of the Yamala Arjunas was one of these wonderful pastimes. Paragraph. One day a fruit vendor approached Nanda Maharaj's house, and Krishna gathered some fruit grains into little palms and went to the vendor to exchange the grains for fruit. On the way, almost all the grains fell from his palms, and only one or two grains remaining, but the fruit vendor, out of full affection, accepted these grains in exchange for as much fruit as Krishna could take. As soon as she did this, her basket became filled with gold and jewels. Paragraph. Thereafter, all the elderly gopas decided to leave Gokula because they saw that in Gokula there was always some disturbance. They decided to go to Vrindavan, Vrajadham, and the next day they all departed. in Vrindavan. Both Krishna and Balaram, after finishing their childhood pastimes, began to take charge of the calves and send them to the pasturing grounds, Go Charana. During this time, a demon named Vatsasura entered among the calves and was killed, and another asura in the shape of a big duck was also killed. The playmates of Krishna narrated all these stories to their mothers. The mothers could not believe their children, Krishna's playmates, but because of full affection, they enjoyed these narrations of Krishna's activities. Offering our respectful obeisances to Jiva Goswami and our great acharyas who've provided nice commentary. Here's Jiva Goswami commenting on the first verse. They hurried to the spot. The sound was like thunder without clouds. They worried about demons attacking the two boys. Yashoda and the other women did not come first, though they were close, because they had fainted. Shukadev addresses Parikshit as best of the Kurus, as if he would give protection, since Nanda and others were in fear. And taking some time to load. I like my old computer. I didn't have this problem with the old computer, but this is supposed to be more powerful and more bells and whistles. And what I'm looking at is a blank page, but after some delay, the whole page is going to fill up with text. So then I can read it to you. Well, we're waiting. This is, we're well into the 10th canto now, childhood pastimes of Krishna. But whether in Gokul or Vrindavan, or Krishna's leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura, up to that point, the unique quality of love of the residents of Vrindavan is what the Bhagavatam is pointing to. Now, it's not that other Puranas don't also point to the special pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, but the Bhagavatam especially does that, and certainly our acharyas adore the Bhagavatam for that reason, and particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and those subsequent to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they particularly adore Srimad Bhagavatam, because it stimulates love for Krishna in that mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And it goes hand in glove, with the chanting of the holy name. So here's Jiva Goswami's commentary. They saw the two trees, completely uprooted, lying on the ground. Though it was possible to see that the mortar had pulled the trees down, they were unaware of that, since they were far away and confused, and the branches covered up the view. Aware of the situation, they were in doubt. Seeing the situation, they would first become overcome with fear, not trying to see the cause of the trees falling. Even knowing the cause, they would not be inquisitive. Coming closer, they saw Krishna covered with the branches and said in pain, "Who has done this? This is astonishing. Why have they done this?" And Jiva Goswami quotes Hari Vamsa, where it says, "How did these two trees, big as a cowherd's house, fall without wind or rain, without being struck by lightning, without being attacked by elephants?" And then continuing with text 3, and this is the conclusion. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. "Though they could understand," this is the elder Gopas, "though they could understand from the situation that the boy had caused the two Arjuna trees to fall because of prema, avijnaya, because of prema, they could not think that it was so. They doubted that such a small boy could do such a thing. They expressed their doubt in these verses, quote, 'Who has done this? For what reason has this amazing accident happened to the boy?' Thinking in this way, they were filled with pain. By our good fortune, the boy is protected by the Lord." So they're worshippers of Narayan. And they consider Narayan to be the Lord, and they consider Krishna differently. They consider Krishna to be their son, not Narayana. And there's another detail I think it's interesting to mention. There's multiple references of the resident of Vrindavan apparently worshipping devas and devis. Just like, for example, the girls, the young cowherd girls, they worshipped Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband. And the acharyas explained it wasn't the demigoddess Katyayani or Durga, a manifestation of her. It's the counterpart, the spiritual counterpart, Yogamaya. Because it's only through Yogamaya that one can attain Krishna's association. So that was their worship, and so forth. Like Radharani is said to have worshipped the sun god, but she is a devotee of Krishna. So she is worshipping Surya Narayan, not Surya, and so forth. At least that's how our acharyas help us understand. Now, to those who are not Vaishnavas, it's bewildering. I mean, not bewildering, it's like verification that, you know, Krishna's not Narayan. Anyway, there's different ways of misunderstanding everything, anything and everything. And certainly the pastimes of Krishna. And therefore, emphasis over and over again in Prabhupada's writings, one should cover the first 9 cantos before entering into the 10th canto. Just hearing the lecture this morning, it was part of the Nectar of Devotion series that Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan at Radhadamodar Temple. And he was expressing that there is no example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing Radha Krishna pastimes to the public or within the public. He would discuss philosophy with the scholars. He would have kirtan, Prabhupada said, for 4 hours every day, every afternoon in Puri. And only with Srup Damodar and intimate associates, Ramananda Roy, would he discuss the intimate pastimes of Krishna. He specifically said Rasalila. But even the childhood pastimes, because ordinary people don't have the not just cerebral capacity, they the paradigm through which they see is totally material. They don't see the cause of all causes. Now the residents of Vrindavan are not seeing that either, because he's their son or their friend or their beloved. They see Narayana as the cause of all causes, and Krishna is one of them, who they love very much. That's unique. That's the uniqueness of their love. So it requires navigation by a qualified acharya in disciplic succession to understand these things properly. So Shukadeva Goswami is that qualified person. And those hearing from him in a disciplic succession method. So any discussion?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj, for your class. You were mentioning the resonance of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. You said because of parental affection, they couldn't see Krishna's divinity. And there's many verses that state on the flip side of the coin that because of Maya's infection, we can't see Krishna's divinity in others. And there's two examples, one including Prabhupada, one a mundane example that are really something incredible, like this story. Approximately 20 years ago, a man in India had some particular disease. And some people told him, there's somebody who could uproot your disease, like Krishna uprooted the trees. And he said, who is it? Because he couldn't afford insurance. And they said, and they told him a seven-year-old. And he said, impossible, but he had no choice. So this seven-year-old name was Ankit Jaswal, and he performed surgery on this man and uprooted his disease. And that's one story I appreciate. And one appreciation of Prabhupada is that he told, when he left for India, he told his well-wishers that I'm going to uproot the sinful life of the Americans, and not only that, they're going to also help me uproot the sinful life and spread Christian consciousness throughout the entire world. And so they said impossible, but Prabhupada was able to do so. So there's one quote that I really appreciate that reminds me of Prabhupada. It says, surround yourself with the dreamers and the doers, the believers and the thinkers, but most of all, surround yourself with those who see the greatness within you, even when you don't see it within yourself. So my question is that sometimes when we're in a devotional community, we go through situations like Hanuman and the squirrel. Sometimes people in a sometimes people in a more powerful position may minimize your service. And so sometimes people in order to maintain their peaceful relationship with devotees, they may be like the squirrel. Lord Rama spoke up for the squirrel, but sometimes in our life, we may not have persons to speak up for us. So sometimes our Christian consciousness enthusiasm goes down because people try to minimize your service. So what is a devotee supposed to do who goes to that dilemma? Who has that dilemma? Should I maintain my relationships or should I maintain my Christian consciousness?
Maintain your Christian consciousness regardless of the relationship. There's options. Different people have different mentality. And, you know, our acharyas instruct us differently in this regard. But you never let go of your Krishna consciousness, and whether you continue the relationship with that person or not. Different persons have different responses. Our acharyas give us different recommendations. If you recall from, maybe you weren't here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's comments in Dukkha is to never see in an inimical manner those who are acting towards us as enemy, but see them with kindness and affection. Now, depends upon an individual and the relationship, let's say me or oneself and the other person, and appraising one's own nature and appraising the nature of the other person. I may keep distance and I may continue into that relationship. Depends on the variables, multiple variables, but never at any point hold an attitude of enemy towards such a person. Then you're just being sucked into the whirlpool of the material energy by the material energy. So maintain your Krishna consciousness and make decisions about maintaining the relationship or not, or what the mood should be. And it's not just, I'm not sorry to say, it's not just people that are in the higher position being abusive to persons in a lower position. Work the other way around also. Person in the lower position just being abusive to persons in any position, lower, same, and below, or above. So the sword cuts both ways, is my point. And then never at any point should I abandon my Krishna consciousness because of the sword. Just stay to my Krishna consciousness. And then make thoughtful, wise, guided by intelligence and spiritual authority decisions about what's the best way to respond to this situation. The world is filled with it. Devotees and non-devotees. We shouldn't have an inimical attitude towards non-devotees or an arrogant attitude, because that's easy. I'm up there and they're down there. So that's not nice. That's not Vaishnava. Well, we can respond differently to people who are not devotees, and that depends upon us and the particular non-devotee. Not so simple. But not in any circumstance do we abandon the Krishna consciousness, or let it become weakened, or feeling discouraged. That's material. We're part of the material energy if we're thinking like that. No better than the person who is the abuser, or whatever, acting, wielding authority in a way that's not respecting the squirrels. Yeah.
There was a Bhagavatam discussion.
Speak slowly.
Yeah.
In the Bhagavatam?
Discussion.
Discussion? Another section?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a devotee. She was asking a question that Krishna has... In Krishna, all his potencies exist in full.
Krishna is always what?
In Krishna, all his potencies exist in full, in his fullness.
To see Krishna and his potencies in their fullness. Mm. No? That's not what you said.
No.
Let her say.
I'll say without the
mind. Okay, go ahead. Accepting his fullness. Except in fullness.
Is
it important?
Okay, I'll ask the second part of the question. So she wanted to find out of Krishna's spiritual energy.
Krishna's spiritual energies.
Yes, has all the potencies of Krishna in fullness.
Yes, why not? Well, what other option is there? You're going to clarify the question.
Yeah, I was going to the part of the dilemma was, if nothing can be superior than Krishna,
if nothing can be separate from Krishna,
superior than Krishna,
okay,
how can the energy be greater than the energetic?
If the energy is not greater, it's non-different. If everything is non-different, then the energy is non-different. And in fullness, Bhagavan possesses potencies in fullness. The dilemma is a false dilemma. It's just, accept the statement, Krishna means Purusha Shakti Aviva Daiva Shruyate. He has unlimited potencies. According to Jiva Goswami in Bhagavat Sandarbha, because Bhagavan means he who has all potencies in full. So, to understand God requires the fundamental understanding and acceptance that Krishna has all potencies in full. So you can't think of God properly if you think otherwise. There's his potencies, and somehow the potencies are not his fullness, or they're greater than him. Then one should go back to hearing the declaration of Parashur Muni. Bhagavan means one who has all potencies in full. There's no separation between potent and potency. They're in different categories. Potent and potency are not identical in every respect, but they're non-different. Anything else?
I have a second question. Maharaj, can you a little bit describe about the Paramatma realization in detail? Because I think there is a lot of description about the Brahman realization and the Bhagavan realization, but what is it that the Paramatmavadi is actually... Because we know
what is Paramatma realization actually? That's your question? That's another... I don't understand the nature of the question, because it's Paramatma realization means, what is it exactly? It's realization of Paramatma. So there's a whole Sandarbha of the six dedicated to Paramatma Sandarbha. So Paramatma function is not the fullness of Bhagavan using Radhika Raman's language, it's Krishna suppressed. Krishna's potencies in their fullness suppressed. Suppressed, not like depressed, but it's less than the fullness of his potencies. The, 60 of the 64 potencies or qualities of Krishna. And it's specific to overseeing the affairs of creation. Nothing to do with the affairs of the spiritual world. Everything to do with the affairs of creation. Paramatma realization can be partial, or Paramatma realization can be complete. But even in the complete stage, it's in relation to the material energy and the workings of the material energy. For example, Maya Jakshena Prakriti, that's a Paramatma function. It's a sub-function of Krishna, but Krishna doesn't get involved with the material energy, Paramatma does. And even Paramatma does through remote control. He doesn't get his hands dirty. He does through his potencies. And the potencies of the material modes of nature, guna, those are part of it, and time, and there's potencies that are working under his direction. So realization of Paramatma in fullness is, he's the source of the control of the whole of the creation. It's all under his working, under his direction. That's Paramatma realization. There's less complete Paramatma realization. And there's all kinds of silly things. You know, I'm Paramatma. That's one of the silly ones. Specifically, I don't know the detail, but I know this from our acharyas, that Patanjali, the Yoga Sutra author Patanjali, describes the process of yoga and meditation within yoga system is to realize Paramatma. And the goal, become one with Paramatma. There's no bhakti. Zip. The Bhagavatam teaches about Paramatma realization that leads to Bhagavan realization, leads to devotional service. I mean, chapter 2 of Canto 2 deals with Paramatma realization. It moves from the universal form to Paramatma realization to devotional service. Or the Sankhya Yoga taught by Kapila is to realize there's matter over there when the category is spirit. We meditate on the Supreme Spirit. We engage in devotional service to the Supreme Spiritual Person. That's Paramatma realization when it's complete. It leads to the next. And there's Paramatma realization that doesn't lead to the next because it's incomplete. There's something very fundamentally missing. I'm very tiny. Instead of I am Paramatma. But the controller of the affairs of the material energy is a Paramatma function, and it can be realized more or less completely. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.